Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
How do we change as Christians? What does change even mean? In this session, we're going to unpack how the Bible talks about change from the inside out, and really what's involved in pursuing biblical change. We're going to look at what we've learned so far from the tree model and apply it to the fruit of the tree, which again is our outward behaviors. But first, I want to speak to you who may be watching this from a place of deep discouragement. Maybe you feel like you've cried all the tears, you've tried everything, and your struggle remains. One woman I know said this: "I hate this struggle so much, and yet I keep going back. I feel hopeless that I'll ever change. Feels like I'm in a deep, dark pit of my own making." If you can relate to my friend, I want to encourage you with the words of Psalm 103. Starting in verse 8. You can turn there in your Bible if you'd like. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Listen to the way God describes himself. He says he won't repay you for your sins. He won't be angry with you forever. He removes your sin far from you, so it's not the defining thing about you when God thinks of you. He's compassionate towards you. This is who God says he is. I really struggle to believe this sometimes. But how about you? Going into this session, let's together set our hearts on this truth as we begin to talk about what change really looks like in the Christian life. First, I'd like to explain the title of this session, Beholding and Becoming: How the Gospel Brings Change. As we're going to unpack in more detail, the way we become more like Jesus is by looking at him and his righteousness, his perfections, and namely, his perfect work on the cross. Now, maybe you thought I would give you a big list of to-dos and do's and don'ts and special tips for fighting sin. Or maybe you thought this would be about an accountability partner. While these things may be wise steps, that's not where gospel change really begins. Christ-centered change actually starts with beholding Jesus and his love for us, and his power to change our hearts, which ultimately does change our behavior. This session is titled this way because, as you'll hopefully see, when we behold him and his love for us, then we're changed. I know you probably want steps, and we're going to get to some wise steps to take. But the first step is always looking at Jesus. So let's start with some questions. What captivates you? What do you gaze at? And ultimately, who or what is it transforming you to be like? You see, we start to become like the things that we behold. So if we're beholding social media for hours a day, or pornography every evening, your heart is being shaped by these things. But the hopeful news is that we can also behold Jesus and be shaped by him instead of by these God replacements. But in order to cast out God replacements from our heart, we have to be captivated by something greater and something more glorious. And the only thing in the entire universe that can capture our hearts in that way, to eclipse every other love, is God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. Think about it this way. We all have things that we love, which we know are against God's commands. The Bible calls these deceitful desires. Perhaps you've loved the attention and affection you get through sex outside of marriage, or you've loved the escape from boredom that you get through masturbation, or you've loved the temporary but intoxicating nature of a relationship and the rush of using pornography. Now, you might be listening to me say this and think, I don't love those things. I hate them. That's why I'm watching this video course. I want to stop. Well, friend, when we give ourselves to something in our hearts, we're actually saying that we do love that thing. And we may indeed hate the negative consequences of our sin, but when we repeatedly choose something, we are saying that we love what we gain from that more than we love God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Change begins when we start to confess to Jesus that we have loved other things more than Him. And we've even loved things that are against His commands. Remember, Jesus is gracious to forgive. But will you humbly confess the heart motives beneath your outward sin? And here's another question. Can we just decide one day to love God more than these powerful temptations and sins that ensnare us? How do we get this love for God that will be greater than all other loves? Well, our key ideas for this session are four crucial components of this process of growing out of sinful behaviors and into desires to love the Lord with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. In other words, a totally transformed tree. So we're going to cover four things. Number one, a new heart. Number two, a new gaze. Number three, new priorities. And finally, number four, new fruit. So let's jump right in with number one, a new heart. What we're talking about in this course, this change, this transformation, new desires, it's only possible through a true relationship with Jesus as Savior, Lord, and hope. In other words, you must be a Christian for any of this to take place from the inside of your heart to your outward behavior. Not sure if you're a Christian? I'm so glad that you're here, and I'd encourage you, check out our recommended resources section for some additional materials on that really important topic. Second, a new gaze. Change happens in a way that you might not expect. By looking at and worshiping Jesus for all the ways that He is perfect, even where we ourselves have failed. How are we changed? Let's look at a passage that explains it. In 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18, it says, "By the Lord, what I mean is the Spirit. And in any heart where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is liberty. Now all of us, with our faces unveiled, reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. And so we're being transformed into His same image, from one radiance of glory to another, just as the Spirit of the Lord accomplishes it." Now let's unpack a few things we learn from this passage about our new gaze. If you're a Christian, God's Spirit dwells in you forever. This means you now have the power to obey God from your heart. Whereas before you had God's Spirit, you were not able to obey God from a true heart And this means no matter how far you feel you've fallen, you have hope. God's Spirit is dwelling in you and is at work to change your sinful desires. Pastor and author John Piper says it this way: beholding the glory of the Lord involves a change of heart, a change of desires and preferences, so that the Lord is seen not just as true, but also as precious, beautiful, valuable, desirable, satisfying, the greatest treasure one could ever want. If the eyes of our heart still see him as boring, inferior, unattractive, or unreal, we're not beholding the glory of the Lord as this passage means it. Does this sound maybe discouraging to you right now? Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because you've never even considered that Jesus could be that satisfying and enjoyable. Maybe if you're honest, it just sounds too good to be true. Jesus, church, the Bible, providing the life satisfaction that I deeply desire? Well, let me just remind you, the process of growth and change in the Christian life is a lifelong process, one where we increasingly begin to see Jesus as precious, beautiful, valuable, and desirable. So if you don't feel that way right now, in this moment, remember, God is the one who can help you to see him that way. Ask him to do this in you. Maybe for you, your first step towards change today is to just humbly confess that you need God to change your very desires from the inside out. Pray about this with a trusted friend or mentor if you can. The third component of lasting change is new priorities. This is what the Bible calls putting off or putting on. Ephesians 4:22 says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Here are a few other examples of this in the Bible. First, Colossians 3:12. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Or Romans 13:14, which says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Or Colossians 3:5. Which says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." This process of change as a Christian does require some concrete steps to pursue a holy life. What is the Bible really talking about when it says to put things off or put them to death? Well, it means to make some decisions to get sin's grip off of your life by whatever means possible. I mean, the Bible uses words like flee, put to death, cut it off, make no provision, when it talks about the radical steps that we must take to get out of sin's grip, especially if you've used things like pornography, sharing explicit photos of yourself with others, and masturbation to soothe or distract your hurting heart for years, you'll need to soberly consider what it means for you to put those things to death so that you can be free. You can't do this alone. Session 6 is going to talk about your need for community and care as you seek to take some of these hard steps. As a friend of mine once said, no one coasts into holiness and out of sexual sin. We must, with God's gracious help, take steps that might even feel like mini deaths to us. Jesus makes a striking analogy when he's talking about this in view of the serious nature of sexual sin. He says, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." This isn't literally telling us to cut off our hands and throw them away. Otherwise, all Christians would be walking around without hands, left and right. It's also not saying that if you don't cut off your sin, you're just automatically thrown into hell. Remember, your hope is not ultimately in your ability to fight your sin. Your hope is in Jesus' finished work on the cross, canceling the record of your sin. But what Jesus is getting at here is that we should be so serious and so resolute about fighting our sin that we would be willing to take radical steps. As radical as cutting off your own hand because of the severity of the consequences. So, is this all up to you? Is biblical change just about doing radical things to just live a better life? Well, listen to how the Bible talks about the change process in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Do we work hard to fight our sin? Yes. Is it God's work in us that causes us to change? Also, yes. Both things are true. And this means that fighting against old patterns of sin some days just feels like toil or even death to us. Yet, the ultimate hope that we will change doesn't come from us or our efforts, but from God's faithfulness and his grace. And not only that, but God delights to help us change. He says that he does it for his good pleasure. So let me ask you a diagnostic question. How God-centered is your hope for change? Do you feel like all the pressure is on you and you better not mess this up? Have you ever felt like you're just in trouble until you can get this sin problem under control? I know I've felt that way. Well, here's the good news for you and for me is that God cares much more about you and your holiness than you ever could. When a true Christian hears of God's love and faithfulness towards them, their reflex is not, "Yes, now I can just keep sinning and do whatever I want." No, a Christian with God's Spirit living in their heart, they'll see God's love for them and they will melt with humility and gratitude. They'll naturally long to love and obey God. As Romans 2:4 says, God's kindness leads us to repentance. But if you've not felt this way lately, just remember, God can change even those desires. Are you willing to be made willing to obey? Maybe you start there. Ask God to transform you so that your heart is softened by his grace. And guess what? He delights to do that. Now, finally, let's shift into the fourth essential part of how our behavior and thoughts are transformed by God, and that's new fruit. Now, this day and age, we don't really use the word abide very much in our conversations, but in plain speaking, it means to stay near, to remain, to rest in, and to receive from Jesus. The Bible talks about how the only way we will bear new fruit on our tree is by abiding in Christ. So when you think of branches on a plant, They're not straining and striving to be attached to the vine. They simply receive the nutrients they need, and they get it all from the vine. But if you cut the branch off, it dies. It can't bear any fruit. Listen to what Jesus says about this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you heard condemnation from Jesus in this passage, I want you to look back at verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Please don't miss that. But what about you? What do you think it might look like for you to stick close to Jesus today, this week, this month? Jesus will bear good fruit out of your heart and your life as you rest and receive from him. He has everything you need to live a godly life, and his words are clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what about our friend from sessions 2, 3, and 4, Jen? What did a transformed tree look like in her life? Well, Jen started by confessing to a close friend from church about her struggle. This was very scary for her, but she was encouraged that her friend didn't shame her, she didn't condemn her. And Jen also spent some time just getting very real with God. She had several nights praying and crying out to God, just being honest with him, maybe for the first time in her life, that she just felt stuck and that she knew Jesus was the only one who could actually help her. She told God how she doubted that his love could really provide her with anything close to what porn had provided for her all these years. She didn't know that she could pray in such a raw way. She also took some steps of faith, putting off and putting on, like it says in Ephesians. So first, with the help of that friend, she got some accountability software on all of her devices. She was honest about any loopholes that she saw in the plan, knowing that any safeguards on her devices couldn't change her heart. It was really hard for Jen, but she actually canceled her Netflix subscription, and she took an indefinite break from all of her social media accounts. She wanted to just see what life would be like without these distractions. She also started attending a weekly Bible study at her church, which was something that she had avoided. She wanted to find out how to actually enjoy God's word alongside people in her own local congregation. Finally, Jen came up with a plan on what to do when she faced ongoing temptation and shared it with a trusted friend. For her, this was really humbling, but it was needed so that Jen knew what to do when temptations inevitably came. Now, did this happen overnight for Jen? Absolutely not. But slowly, her thoughts, her desires, and her actions did start to change. And she started to just see how great it felt to be free, to not feel like she was hiding anything. Jesus never condemned her, but as she studied God's word, she began to really find peace in his love for her. It was radically different than any other love that she'd ever known. In the next video, we're going to focus on some practical ways for you to fight sin. And part of that will include what it means to stick close to Jesus in your day-to-day life, as well as what you need to put off and put on to be truly free. But hey, this has been a lot, and you might just be feeling overwhelmed. But remember what we talked about, that any true change starts with gazing at Jesus. Look to him. He invites you to come to him right now.
The following audio was taken from our brand new online course, Transforming Love: Women, Sexual Struggles, and Help in Christ. To register for free or learn more, visit harvestusa.org/courses. Again, that's harvestusa.org/courses. This link will also be provided in this episode's show notes.